right. Well, good evening and welcome to another edition of Sports and Real Talk with Coach McKenzie. Each week, our goal is to provide you with education, motivation, and inspiration. And this week, we're just taking an opportunity to reflect on 2013. We're going to go back. We're going to talk a little bit about maybe some of the shows that we did, highlight some of our guests, and just try to give you some encouraging words to go into the new year, 2014. As our opening song says, we know that whatever you're going through, that it's going to be a new season and that you're going to come through in flying colors. And so with that, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Pastor Ken Stone. Pastor Stone, are you with me?
Yes, sir. Greetings. How are you, Coach?
You know what? I am cold here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, but I am surviving and glad to have another opportunity to share with our great audience all over this country. I just want to remind them that if they'd like to talk to us, they can give us a call tonight at 347-237-4648, or you can contact us on Facebook. You can get me at Larry A. McKenzie. You can get Pastor Ken Stone at Ken Stone on Facebook. Or you can reach us at Twitter at Coach McKenzie. And so with that, we're going to go right into tonight, and we're going to have an extensive, some positive words of motivation from Pastor Ken's in Ken's Corner. Pastor Ken, take it away.
Yeah, Coach, first let me say I hope everyone's had a blessed holiday season. I know we're getting ready to go into the new year. A lot of people are making plans to have a, you know, New Year's resolution and get a brand new start, which is not a bad thing. But what I like for people to keep in mind is that we now, I believe, are going into a year and a season where we're going to have to roll up our sleeves, Coach, and get to work in our communities. And when I say in our communities, I believe all our churches, programs and so forth that are in the community, I think it's really time now to really roll up our sleeves, come together, and really set an agenda to purposely get things done. Coach, with that being said, I just have a some very disturbing statistics that I would like to share with our audience. And also open this up, Coach, to see if we could get some dialogue going on this. And what this is, Coach, is some statistics that are given that's titled The Silent Genocide, Facts About the Deepening Plight of Black Men in America. One of the things that is discussed is the education and family. And I just want to give a few statistics, Coach, and then I'll see if we can really open this up for discussion, what we can do in coming together in different communities and cities to kind of address these statistics. But, Coach, in the education and family, it states only 45% of black men graduate from high school in the United States. Only 45. It says just 22% of black males who began at a four-year college graduated within 6 years. Another thing is 69% of black children in America cannot read at grade level in the fourth grade. 7% of black eighth graders perform math at grade level. Since 32% of all suspended students are black. Black students, mostly black males, are twice as likely as whites to be suspended or expelled. And then the last statistic under this category of education and family is 67% of black children are born out of wedlock.
Wow. And
so, you know, Coach, I just really, I know that, you know, a lot of people are out in the community trying to develop programs and so forth, but I believe this is the year where we need to come together, unite, whether leaders, pastors, ministers, everyone in our communities, and we need to address these statistics and realize, you know, we can't save the world. We know Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, but I believe he holds us responsible of doing our part. in reaching the world that he put in our communities and so forth. And so, Coach, if we can address some of this and just kind of give some insight from yourself, maybe if people hearing will call in. I like to open this up to what are some of the things that you see or feel or maybe be involved in that can help our young black men in these who are in these situations.
Well, you know, first of all, let me just say that, man, listening, I mean, those are some very, very alarming statistics. And it really says that we've got a lot of work to do. You know, and I mean, I hope. I know that we got a lot of our audience are people who participate in the community who are difference makers. And wow, I mean, I think you know, you really kind of set the table tonight. I mean, we want to reflect, you know, on 2013, and man, I mean, it's just I tell you, I'm almost stunned
yeah,
listening to those statistics. But, again, you know, one of the things that I always like to say is, you know, let's not get caught up in the hype. And so
yeah.
The only people that can really turn those around are those of us that are in the midst of it. So,
yeah.
Wow. So, you know, that's a great leading for our Real Talk segment. But before we get there, we're going to take a quick 60-second break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back so that, you know, we can, man, really, we can really dive into I'm just alarmed, really, you know, and for someone that, you know, someone that reads a lot and try to stay current, you know, and I always like to say, I mean, I know there's a lot of positive things that are going on in our community. But with that, I mean, no question, we've got some work to do. But, again, before we take a break, I know you've laid the table out for our show tonight to reflect on some of that, and we can talk about, you know, some of our guests, some of the things that we heard from Devin George, some of the things we heard from Sheila McBride that addressed some of these issues tonight. But why don't you give – I mean, I know we have not done this at all, but why don't you give us a short prayer or something positive for those folks that are listening as we talk about the work that we need to do before we go to break?
Yeah, as we pray, we just believe, and, Lord, we open up our hearts, our minds, our lives to you. Father, I know through this year we've gone through changes, we've gone through challenges, but one thing we know is that you've always been there. You've always there to strengthen and encourage us. And so we're praying for anyone in our audience who's listening that you will be their strength, their guide, and help them make through whatever situation or challenging situation they may be in. Lord, as we open up our lives, our hearts, our mind, our visions, our goals, everything, Lord, we give it to you because we know once we give it to you, Father God, you're able to make dreams come true. You're able to cause a way out of no way. You're able to bring water out of a desert, dear Lord. So we know right now whatever's going on in our lives, in our heart and our minds, Lord, you're able to fix it. So we give it over to you, trusting you that you are going to bring us through whatever situation and challenge we may be facing in our lives as a people in this earth. We give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I just thought we needed that in light of those statistics that you shared. So we're going to pay the bills. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Larry McKenzie is the only coach to win 4 back-to-back state titles in the 99-year history of the Minnesota State Boys Basketball Tournament. And now, he is sharing his success and strategies for winning on the court and in life. Basketball, more than just a game, is a must-read for young athletes and their parents navigating the game. Incorporating 10 life lessons, Coach McKenzie shows why basketball is merely a metaphor and a tool that can be used to transform lives. Get your copy today. Go to CoachMcKenzie.com. LarryMcKenzie.com, where a portion of the proceeds will go to support the Above the Rim Sports Foundation, a 501c3 that supports youth sports. Once again, that is CoachMcKenzie.com. Real simple, CoachMcKenzie.com. A must read. Check it out today.
If you're a minister, church leader, business, or organization, and would like to be a part of the Survival Radio Christian Network, email us at survivalradionetwork@gmail.com. That's survivalradionetwork@gmail.com. Together, we can build the kingdom of God.
All in together now. We can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll rope it up.
Cause we know how to jump.
We'll roll it out. Roll it
out. We know how to dance.
We'll cut it down.
Cut it down. We know what to eat.
We'll swap it out.
We eat healthy stuff.
Just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your kids healthier. Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day. That's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
All right, well, welcome back to Sports and Real Talk with Coach McKenzie and my co-host, none other than Pastor Ken Stone. And Pastor Stone, before we went to that break, you raised some serious concerns and maybe some things that we should have our sights on as we go into 2014. Let's kind of dissect those stats, you know, piece by piece. So let's start off with the first one. Go back to that one again, and let's have a little dialogue here.
45% of black men graduate from high school in the United States. Only 45%. And so now, Coach, as you know, as we're entering real talk, okay?
And no question.
And Pastor, that statistic is not saying 45% of black men are safe. So,
right.
It is saying graduate from high school. So now I'm just saying for us as pastors, us as ministers, it's time for us to do our job in bringing this percentage down. So if we may have this percentage, maybe of some people in our church that we don't know about. So
no question. Wow.
I'm saying coach, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, as a coach, you're aware of the academic situations of all the players who play for you. So
I can tell you, and you know me, I get grades on a weekly basis. But I also can say this, and you know this too, because you've been around me and you've been around various programs, that it is not something common that coaches do. And it's funny that you say that because I actually was reading an article about, you know, regarding one of our former guests, Sheila McBride, and she was, you know, that's one of the things that she was talking about, how many times, not only coaches, but parents don't stay on top of the academic situation of their kids. So, you know, kids get to June, they get to May, and for the first time, you're realizing that they're, you know, this many credits short or that many credits short or that they're not going to be able to get except. You know, Ken, what I'm surprised of, and you talk about this, but how many kids that I know that I work with that don't get into the college of their first choice? Simply because somewhere along the line, they did not monitor. They did not monitor. They did not stay on top of the academics. The counselors do. You know, again, I was reading today about a school where they got one counselor for 450 kids. Well, how effective could that counselor be? But, you know, so one of the things that I want to talk about as we are into this Real Talk segment, and let's be real about this, is this an issue in our community or is this a societal issue? You know, should everybody be playing a role? Because I'm of the belief, man, that we're faced with what I would call in this country a global crisis. And I say that around the achievement gap because the reality of it is that if only 45% of young African-American men are graduating from high school, then, in fact, what does that say in terms of this country, in terms of future resources? And that's a very, very kind of alarming thing because it has so many impact. I mean, obviously, That means 55% are not graduating. And so, right, therefore, those are young men that are only that are either going to become incarcerated or end up in a situation where those of us that are paying taxes are taking, yeah, care of them. And so it's a drain on the economy. And so it's one of those things that I think, you know, everybody should be alarmed about. But you talk about some of the things that we can do, Ken. And so one of my major issues, and I'll say this to you, you know, as a pastor, but I also have to say, because I know that you're my pastor, so I know that we do some different kind of things. But, you know, in all of this stuff that's going on, one of my major issues around the education is,
yes,
the role that the church is playing. You know, most, right, churches are only open on Sundays and Wednesdays.
Right.
And not in any capacity that serve our young people. And there's,
right,
therefore, if parents don't have the financial resources, where, mm-hmm, are they supposed to get help around the tutorial programs and those,
right,
kind of things? I say to you as a pastor, could churches play a significant role in helping around our educational issues by being there to encourage some of these young men through mentoring programs or tutorial,
yep,
programs or other kinds of things? What role is there for pastors like yourself?
Coach, we need to be involved, having our church doors open for after-school academic study programs. Because I you know, was involved in sports and so forth, and of course I like sports, pastors need to get involved in helping the parents unite with the go up to school. Hey, why can't the pastor know what's going on with a kid's life so that he can help him spiritually and mentally? Because after all, We're as pastors supposed to be caring about the whole man. So yes, I preach to you on Sunday and give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, so forth. But at the same time, I need to be out there showing care for you as an individual, educationally, saying, son, if I can sit down and help you study, if we can get some of the teachers and the counselors and so forth to come down to the church, have a feeding program, we need to be setting the pace in our community, that's the church, as to being involved with these kids, being involved with coaches, being involved with principals. Why can't a pastor, I know I do this all the time, I go up to the schools, I'm a hall monitor.
I know you do.
It's just amazing how when you're in the hallway, kids will stop cursing because you're there.
Yeah, you know, Ken, and I'm just sitting here and I'm listening, but I'm also reflecting a little bit. So I'm thinking that if that 55% don't graduate, those are,
yeah,
also potential 55% of fathers who will be illiterate, who,
right,
won't be able to help their, who won't be in a position to help their kids.
Exactly. Coach, I want to throw another statistic at you, and this is going to shock you. Blacks account for 12% of the U.S. population, but 44% of all prisoners in the United States is black.
Wow. And I know in some of the things that I've read that there's a correlation between those who are not able to read,
mm-hmm,
that translates into eventually becoming discipline problems, who eventually,
right,
gets involved in the juvenile justice system, who eventually and here's the other thing that I think we don't talk about, and we just want to put it out there. The reality of it is that in today's society, as we go into 2014 is much different than 1964. Much,
right,
different than 1974, much different,
yeah,
than 1984, in that I say this, and I say this to young people all the time. When I grew up in Miami, Florida. I grew up, and my competition existed from people that went to school in Miami,
mm-hmm,
Jacksonville, et cetera. Now, in this time and space,
mm-hmm,
kids are competing against kids in China, in,
right,
Africa, in,
right,
London, in Paris, et cetera, for the,
yeah,
jobs that exist.
Right.
And how do we survive as a community? I mean, what is the impact of this around economic development if only 45% of our boys? And I'm going to say this because we're going to be real tonight, and we're going to close this year out with some real, real talk. And our biggest problem is this, and I was having brunch with my son today, and we were just talking about the impact of the lack of fathers. And our problem is, and I'm going to say it, and I don't care who's listening and they get mad, our problem is black men in this country are MIA, missing in action. They're not in the schools. They're not in the churches. They're not on the sidelines. And and obviously, they're not even free if 45% are being locked up. And so we need to, as black men, you start talking, and you can tell me that I'm very passionate about this, but we need to, as black men, stand up, stand up, get off the sideline, and get in the game. But it's a very, very sad statistic, Ken, and I'm just going to say, I mean, we just need, you know, we need people like yourself to be active in the pulpit and talk about it, people like myself to talk about it, people that in our audience to talk about it, and I think there's some things we sweep under the rug in our community, but we've got to, you know, we just got to be real. So, you know, I know we can go on with this conversation. We need to take a little break. Again, so we're gonna take a quick break, and we're not gonna go into our usual sports segment tonight. We're not gonna go into our usual sports segment tonight. We're gonna come back and we're gonna finish this conversation. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for a book that will uplift, inspire, and motivate you to pursue your God-given purpose? Do you need to hear testimonies of how others overcame to be triumphant? Are you searching for a guide to spiritual maturity? Or perhaps you'd like that perfect gift for a friend? The Survival Radio Christian Network has just the thing for you. Let Me Testify, Messages of Triumph, Purpose, and Survival is a brand new anthology from the hosts of this great network. Order your copy of Let Me Testify today at www.survivalradiochristiannetwork.com. That's www.survivalradiochristiannetwork.com. Read, receive, and be blessed.
Do you want to take your business to the next level? Ultimate Business Solutions provides the support you need to increase your customer base and sell more products and services online. Specializing in graphic arts, web development, and internet marketing, Ultimate Business Solutions creates the face of your business. If you're looking for a custom logo, dynamic website, or popping marketing material, call Ultimate Business Solutions today at 404-704-2197 or visit www.ultimatebizsolutions.com. Ultimate Business Solutions. Let us create your future.
Well, all right. Well, welcome back to Sports of Real Talk with Coach McKenzie and my co-host, Pastor Ken Stone. And Pastor Stone, we were just having a little dialogue there about the lack of education in our community. And so now let's talk a little bit about college campuses. You had given us some – why don't you repeat those statistics again, and we'll continue to have a dialogue around those stats.
It states that 45% of black men graduate from high – only 45% graduate from high school in the United States. Just 22% of black men who begin a four-year college graduate within 6 years. 69% of black children in America can read at grade level in the fourth grade. So the fourth grade can read at that level. 7% of eighth graders perform math at grade level. Now, I want to throw this one out here to you, Coach, and it kind of is a hurting statistic, but, again, we're keeping it real. It says 45% of black children live below the poverty line compared to with 16% of white children. Now, the net worth of a black family in America is $6,100. Dollars versus $67,000 for a white family. Now,
wow.
That ties directly in to education.
Well, no question. And so one of the things that I always say is that, you know, the problem with it, that we, you know, and again, having been involved with, you know, my parents are educators, being around education, you know, being an administrator, working in education now. I mean, part of what we don't do as a community is we really don't talk about the value of education.
Yeah.
And historically,
right.
You know, whether you go back to Mary McLeod Bethune or Carter G. Woodson or anyone, I mean, everyone, Malcolm X, have all said the greatest equalizer in this country is is education. But we don't place enough value on that in our community. You know, I remember a few years ago, I mean, even in the midst of it, man, that, you know, for young black boys, I mean, it's not cool to be smart. Why not? If you're smart, you're acting white. Well, what is that? You know, all of these kinds of things. And yet, you know, we continue to, find ourselves in these kind of predicaments. And obviously, it's having major, major impact. And so we've got to do a better job, I mean, of encouraging, you know, our family, our friends around really preparing. You know, I got kids, Ken, and you, again, we spend a lot of time off air talking about these things, but probably right now on my team, I mean, and this is why I work so hard in trying to make sure that I have my kids be student athletes, because I know so many kids, if they don't get scholarships, if they don't get scholarships, their chances of going to college are pretty slim. And in our community, it is very real about survival. And so they then become, these young men then become targets for somebody to put that nickel bag or dime bag or whatever in their hand. Somebody walked them in the store with a 9mm or whatever. So, you know, and so we do have to look for resources. And programs. I mean, and here's the other thing, and I'm going to come back to you, but here's the other thing that I think that bothers me is, I mean, so many of us don't want to do the work if there's nothing in it for us. If we can't get a grant, you know, and again, I don't want to get in trouble, but I have to say this. You know, as I said, The young people that we're talking about reaching out to, now they don't have any money to put into the plate, so they're not customers, and so they're not being served. And I'm gonna turn that over to you.
You know, Coach, that is the thing that we're getting into the crud of all of this now, and that's what I believe is one of the biggest problems. As you said, first of all, men are missing in action, but number two, what we have to realize is the vision has to go forward regardless of resources. You have to put more value on the human life than the resources. So, in other words, yes, the money and all that, it does help. But if it's not there, you have to push forward. You still have to say, you know what, we'll believe God or whatever, but we're going to have to keep these lights on, these doors open or whatever, so that these children can come in here. Parents even. I'm not dealing with just children because we
need question. Right.
Some parenting skills and classes in our communities as well. And we need to promote those type of things to say, parents, okay, you know, you can't no longer sit by and you know, go screaming and hollering to something happen to your child. Get involved. Make sure and prevent that it doesn't happen, whether it's education, whether it's getting knowledge about whatever you need to do. Because, Coach, I was on my Facebook and I read Sheila McBride's thing, and she was just posting how in Michigan they're really cutting down on the transfer situation.
I saw that.
And that was very interesting because in my day back home in Detroit in sports, it was a big thing. Everyone knew you did it, but it wasn't nowhere near compared to how they tracked, you know, coming down on it now. So now if you're not educated, if you don't read, and your kid come home and say, Mom or Dad, whatever, I want to transfer to this school, and he transfers, then he has to sit out. There's no chance of him going to college and so forth and so on. So, in other words, Coach, we can no longer sit back and pretend that education isn't important. We have to get this in our community. We have to get this information back in our community, whether it's on billboards or whatever. We've got to make education back important to our children and to our people in our communities.
So let me pose this to you, though, but because one of the things that I always say is that, I mean, if you're growing up in one of those households where perhaps your grandmother was a dropout, your mom's a, you know, and there's been no value in education, how do we get these kids to understand the importance of it? Because, I mean, they're in them, they don't see it.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do
you know what
go
I
ahead.
Do, We got to talk to both, because here's what I deal with, and I'm sure you do as well, and I want to add to this question that you're presenting. Okay, so you spend as a coach hours with a student athlete. You get them encouraged towards education, but when he go home, it's not reinforced.
Right,
so
right.
He goes home. And he goes home trying to remember what you're talking about, man. He gets cussed out. He's here screaming and, you know, who knows what's going on. I mean, so right away, everything you have trying to instill is not being reinforced. So I believe we have to try to include the parents somehow to come out to a meeting and get the information, whether it's going to their house, whatever. But we have to get the parents interested in it as well, because
you just said something too, because I think that's the issue. I mean, a lot of this stuff we see on social media, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm in and out of the community. I don't hear people I don't hear people talking about these issues, you know.
Yeah.
And the seriousness of these issues around so do you think that those statistics that you shared tonight, I mean, are they just not common enough, or, you know, maybe, Larry, I know you're going to get in trouble, but they say you want to keep a secret from us. You put it in a book. Maybe we're just not reading enough. I mean, what is it? But somehow, I mean, and I'm going to say to you, I mean, hopefully you'll post those later tonight, and we'll get that information shared, because we've got work to do. Going into 2014, we've got work to do. And maybe we won't, you know, and I say this all the time in terms of what I do. Kid, maybe we can't get that from that 45% to 100%. But we can get that 45% to 50% or 55%.
Right.
And we can do our part in knocking that down. And that's the thing that we want our audience to know out there tonight.
Yes.
Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a father, whether you're a coach, whatever capacity you're in, that you can make a difference. And we need you.
And that's, Coach, what I believe. You just hit it on the head. You have to see that your part, small or whatever, is significant. Like you said, if we can get 45 to 50%, and then we can begin to start dialoguing from Minnesota to Chicago to Indiana to Detroit, and we can start getting people coming together and saying, hey, what's working in your state, or how are you doing something? We bring it back together, bring it back home here, or we help us in another state. But it all starts with everyone seeing that small or large, whatever, my part means something. It means something. And so I think a lot of times, you know, if you're in a church and you're only sitting there with a group of three or four kids, that means something. Don't look at it and say, well, we don't have over 50, 60 kids in here. Those three or four, pour your life into those individuals.
Amen. You know, and I want to go back to something that you talked about. I mean, I know you talked about the 6-year graduation. And to me, I mean, I know that that says, you know, sometimes you need more time, but I think that's an okay thing. It doesn't matter to me, you know, whether it's 6 years, 7 years, as long as you're on campus and you stay focused and persevere, you know, and get through and get that degree. Also, I mean, I guess I've been saying, or at least trying to get people to listen to the fact, you know, we should look at the high school, or I should say the elementary, secondary, elementary, middle school, high school situation the same year. I mean, if college, everybody goes in at 4 years and don't graduate at the same time, why shouldn't we have the same thing in high school? Sometimes kids need more time.
You know what
I'm saying? And so we put too much emphasis that, you know, you're a failure if you don't graduate by the time you're 18. You know, maybe, and we know young men, it takes a little longer in terms of maturing and those kind of things. So maybe we should consider, you know, I mean, I just think that we have a antiquated educational system, for one. And so those are things that we need to begin to look at. And so, you know, but let's talk, and you had a couple other ones. Let's move on and try to get through these, because I can stay on this soapbox for a long time.
Well, this one, Coach, I mean, this is hard. This is heartbreaking, but this is concerning incarceration and crime. It says a young black male in America is more likely to die from gunfire than a soldier in the Vietnam.
Wow.
Let me say
that
again. A young black male in America is more likely to die from gunfire than a soldier in the Vietnam.
Wow. So some of this is about we don't know how to handle conflict amongst ourselves. I also ask the question oftentimes, where are these guns coming from in our community? How are kids getting these guns? So look like we got a caller. So we're gonna invite our caller to chime in. Caller, are you with us?
Yes.
How good evening and welcome to Sports and Real Talk with Coach McKenzie. How can we help you?
I have a question on how you prepare your own sports to enter the real world in the big time leagues.
How you can compare sports into the real world? You know, so for me, one of the things that I always say, you know, in particular, I think sports is much more than just a game. And I can just tell you, as a former athlete and as a current coach, there's so many lessons in sports. It's a, you know, I mean, it translates if you go into – so one is part of being a team, and team translates into family. I mean, every family, in essence, is a team. You know, and so you have a coach, whether that be mom or dad, but somebody's going to be the head coach, somebody's going to be the assistant coach. Everybody in a family have to play a role. When you play sports, you end up playing a role, whether you're the quarterback, you're the offensive lineman, you're the point guard, or you're the power forward, you're forced into a role. And so it teaches you that. You have to communicate with your teammates. It teaches you about honesty. It teaches you about integrity. It teaches you, you know, if you want to win, you learn how to persevere. Tough situations, you know, that comes into your life. So there's many, many lessons that I think come from this game that I've learned. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with who I am. I know the impact that it's had on my family. And so, Pastor Ken, you want to add anything to that? For this young man?
I want to add to the young man. First, we thank you for calling in, and you raised a really good question, because I believe a lot of young kids really don't understand how the both interrelate to one another. But I'll say this to you. One of the things that I learned that parallels with church and sports and teams and so forth is you learn discipline, you learn how to respect, and most of all, You learn people are there teaching you how to be good at what you want to do. So that's a lot of times kids don't understand that your parents are there for you because they're helping you make better choices in life. A coach may be there to help you become better as a player and so forth. And so one of the things you're getting on both ends is really you've got older people feeding into your life how to do something the right way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So,
well, thank you.
Go ahead. Tell people, respect and love your parents. They have a lot of knowledge and wisdom and experience they can share with you to help you in your life. Your coach, more likely, he played the game. He's gone through some situations that he's going to see you going through as a young man. And I personally believe God places you with a coach to help you through some of the life situations that you may face. So I just want to encourage you, always respect your parents. Listen to what they have to say. They love you. They're helping guide your life. Your coach is there to help mentor you.
Well, thank you for calling in, and we appreciate your call, and hopefully we've answered your question.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, well, that was really, really a great question because, I think sometimes, you know, we don't talk about the value of, you know, our own personal experience what it's done for us being around sports. And so I know I sit there a lot, and you certainly use a lot of sports analogies in your sermons, and you know I use quite a bit of those in terms of as I'm talking to young people because, there is so many life lessons, and, you know, I have to do a couple really, really quick commercials here, but for those of you that have not had an opportunity to pick up my book, Basketball, So Much More Than Just a Game, I mean, that's exactly what we talk about in that book. You know, I say that basketball is a metamorphosis. It is a small piece of life. It's a teaching tool. And so, you know, there's lots of things in there that we share. And then I also had the privilege of just finishing up a project with a number of the co-hosts on the Survival Radio Christian Network, and, you know, it's a piece, and I'm sure we'll hear the commercial here later called Let Me Testify, but just talking about, you know, my testimony about how I got into coaching, you know, and my whole servant spirit of what it's done for me. So a lot of great life lessons and stuff, and so With that, Pastor Ken, let's finish talking about some of those other statistics here real quick.
Well, Coach, as I'm looking at some of these statistics, it says blacks make up only 3.2% of lawyers, 3% of doctors, and less than 1% of architects in America. Many of these are black women. So I wanted to hold that one back because I believe that the emphasis is mostly sports, basketball, whatever, when there is a large window open and opportunities for lawyers, doctors, architects, and so forth, to where our community, it's like the kids only know sports. You know what I mean? It's like I play basketball, I'm going to the NBA, everybody's going to the NBA, NFL, and so forth, yet you have more likely chances if you had an education to become a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, that sort of thing. And so one of the things, Coach, I want to ask you real quick is, do you recall the team that Mark Cuban played for?
I do not.
Thank you. Because he got an education. Now, he can go play with any other players whenever he wants.
That's no question. And I do know he went to Indiana, Ron Bobby Knight. But I want to say that, Ken, and let me just say as a coach and as a parent. I mean, you know, no question. I mean, I always say, first of all, playing professional sports is like going to heaven. Only the chosen few. You know, I don't like to say that in a manner in terms of killing anybody's dreams. But, you know, there's a there's a very small group of individuals that make it to be that are blessed enough to get paid to play at a professional level. So okay. The reality of it is that we must put an emphasis on the education. And you're right. I mean, from a scholarship standpoint,
there are
more academic scholarships than there are athletic scholarships. But this just goes back to, again, you know, as we're talking about the book, and I talk about the first chapter. I mean, parents seeing their kids as lottery tickets, you know, and they put so much more emphasis on the NBA, on the NFL, when their kids can't read or pass a basic standard test, and really you're setting them up to fail. And so just reading an article before we went on the air, we don't have enough teachers of color in the classroom.
Yeah.
A lot of our kids have are challenged with an identity crisis because they can't relate to the person in the front of the room. How do we encourage more people of color, both men and women, to get into this education field? It's something that's much needed. So you're right. And then again, this goes back to my previous comments. I mean, you talked about women, you know, having, which means, you know, we got a problem. I mean, it's time for men to step up. But, you know, before we go into the next segment, why don't we take another break? We got a couple songs here. Why don't we take a break, and then we'll come right back.
Okay.
Are you looking for a book that will uplift, inspire, and motivate you to pursue your God-given purpose? Do you need to hear testimonies of how others overcame to be triumphant? Are you searching for a guide to spiritual maturity? Or perhaps you'd like that perfect gift for a friend? The Survival Radio Christian Network has just the thing for you. Let Me Testify, Messages of Triumph, Purpose, and Survival is a brand new anthology from the hosts of this great network. Order your copy of Let Me Testify today at www.survivalradiochristiannetwork.com. That's www.survivalradiochristiannetwork.com. Read, receive, and be blessed.
This is for them rough days, when you feel like giving up days. That's right. Here's a little something, put a smile on your face.
All right. Well, welcome back to Sports and Real Talk with Coach McKenzie and my co-host, Pastor Ken Stone. Pastor Ken, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show, and I know we've talked about, you know, some of the challenges that are facing our community, but let's try to spend the next 10 minutes or so. I want to talk a little bit about a piece that I posted the other day, and certainly you responded to with some scriptural. How do we provide our young people in the next 10 minutes that's listening to our show with some words of encouragement for 2014? I mean, we've talked about the stats, and I know that many of them are struggling. I want to say this. I know that you grew up in Detroit and I grew up in Miami, and both of us, you know, I mean, people always say, I was talking to my son today, I mean, sometimes people don't know our journeys. They see us at a certain place. And so here's what I want to do. I want you to take about the next 4 or 5 minutes and just offer some words of encouragement. And then I'm going to kind of close tonight again. The same. I want to talk about I'm going to close as we started our show the first week with just a little dialogue maybe about my creed. So you take the next 3-4 minutes and just some positive words for those that are listening, because I just feel that there's some folks out there, they listen to our show on a weekly basis, but I know because we hear from them that they feel like giving up. They think things are hard. They're facing many challenges. They don't think it can be done. What do you say to them?
I will say this. You know, and I speak to a lot of young people, and I say this to, and I speak to our audience in this light. You know, there is such greatness inside of each and every one of us. We were born to do great things in this earth. As we travel and journey on through our days, months, and years, and so forth, there's a lot of things that come against our minds, come against our vision and our hopes. But I tell you this, if you learn the key to life and being successful in life is living from the inside out, meaning nothing can destroy your confidence. Nothing can destroy you. Now, I'm going to give you a secret, and I'm going to say a secret, Coach, that God made it to where the only one who can defeat you is you.
Amen.
No one can stop you from accomplishing whatever you want. So now I'm going to leave you, Coach, and our audience with this. You know, many people fall for the trick of being discouraged and everything because of what other people do. But I want you to realize something. When God in the Bible, when he went to Adam and Eve after they fall, after their fall, he never said to them, who did this to you? He said, who told you you were naked? I'm going to ask our audience, who told you what you can't do? Who told you that you weren't smart? Who told you that you can't get an education? Because those are the things that are holding you back, those negative words. And if you get past those negative words, you can accomplish anything you say out of your mouth. So I want to challenge our young kids, understand, make your own destiny by talking positive about yourself. Get away from people who's cursing, downing you, do move to the other side and start saying, you know what, I am great. I can do something. I am going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist, whatever, because it's inside of you to do it. The biggest thing is you have to start telling yourself that, hey, I can do it, because the greatness that's inside of you, the way it comes out of you is through the words you speak.
Amen. And I just want to say, we started this show a few months back in September. The first week you asked me to share my creed. And for those of you that may be new listeners to our show, I have a creed that I do every day. I start my day. And I want you to start your year with this. Again, we're going to post this up on December 31st on my Facebook page. It'll be Twitter, I'll tell all of my kids everywhere I go, I try to leave them with this, that. First of all, today is December the 29th, 2013. It's a day that's never been and a day that never will be. Therefore, whatever happened yesterday, you can do nothing about. It's already written. It's in the books. But the thing that we can control is our future. And so every day is a new opportunity. It's a new day. And so I close this year by just reiterating this creed, that this is the beginning of a new day. God has blessed you as an individual this day to use as you will. You have a choice. You can either waste it or use it for good. For what you do today is important, because you are exchanging a day of your life for it. And with that, you must decide whether or not it's good or bad, gain or loss, success or failure, in order that you will never regret the price that you pay for it. I like to say my theme for 2013 have been choices or chances. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is that if we don't make the right choices and we take chances, then we have to deal with the consequences. that sometimes we don't have a say in the consequences. And it goes back to your little post today, Pastor Ken, about, you know, Your Honor, Your Honor. I like that one. But, you know, sometimes when you don't make the right choices and you just take chances in life, well, then you end up with the consequence. And the consequence sometimes can be 5 to 10 or 10
right.
to 20 or 20 to life. And so we must take control over our situations. And again, it's, you know, I always say everybody out there, I mean, they're, you know, all of these great minds, they're trying to duplicate the world's greatest computer. And that is a computer that God gave each and every one of us called a brain. And so, therefore, what we put in is what comes out. And it's so important every day that when we get up, as you say, that we tell ourselves that you are a winner, that you are a champion, that you're the best at what you do, that you're capable. You know, I mean, somebody said it's not what they call you, it's what you answer to.
Yeah.
And so we've got to begin to believe that. So I just want to encourage our audience today, whether young or old, you know, as you go into 2014, I mean, you know, don't see things as they are.
Right.
See things as you wish them to be, and then believe it. Faith is what, Pastor? Faith is what? Share that scripture for us, Pastor. Faith is what? Pastor Ken? Are you with me? But faith is that which is not seen.
But
so,
are you there,
I'm there. I'm here. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And so what I'm saying to our audience is that sometimes we can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we look at it, and that mountain do look like it's challenging. You know, that stack of bills don't look like there's no way, no how, that they're going to go down, that they're going to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, if we just can believe it, if we just can believe it, that it happens. And I'm a firm believer, man. God, the Bible says that God is not a respecter of person. What he's done for one, he'll do for the other.
Yeah,
but you just got to believe it.
Yeah.
And so, again, I just want to say I'm excited about 2014. We've got – I'm just going to tell our audience, I mean, starting next week, we've got a great lineup of guests that we're going to have on over the next few weeks. Definitely going to be, you know, very, very motivational, inspirational, education. We're going to have some of our – we definitely want to have Devin George back. We want to have Sheila McBride back. Some of our guests. Ken, you know, and I remember, I mean, you had the pleasure of talking to O'Neal Hampton, one of my favorite people. We're excited about 2014. We want to wish everyone, as we begin to come to a close, a very, very happy and prosperous new year. I just want to say no matter what it looks like, no matter what it looks like, I know that, I mean, I again, because, you know, I'm a competitor. I'm in the midst of the fight sometime, and sometime it looks like the game is over.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you that if you just keep believing that sometime what seems to be impossible becomes impossible. Pastor Ken, we got a minute left. I'm going to let you wrap it up and close us out for 2013.
Go just going on what you said. Remember, though, faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So, in other words, faith is your evidence. The people say, well, you don't have the money, but I got the faith. Oh, but what, this looks really bad, but I have faith. That is my evidence that everything's going to be all right.
And with that, we're going to say Happy New Year. God bless you. And we'll see you in 2014. Good night.
I know you're praying for a change. See a sunny day. Nothing good has come your way for so long. You need someone to understand. You just want to dream again.
Yeah.